Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we continue our tour of the Assembly with Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, John Sandy IV, Helen Foley, and Warren Hardy. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by Fortech LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore of District 4 in Southern Nevada. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I looked at your list of campaign pledges, doing research on you, and you had a very aggressive list. What have you been able to accomplish so far this session?
So far this session, today we're going through the Senate with an HOA bill, so stop kind of HOA abuses.
Which has been a big problem in Southern Nevada.
It's been a huge problem, and I have a lot of support from the Senate side, so I think that's going to be really, really great. We worked diligently, you know, on the campus carry, and that died. But it's coming back.
And that was being able to carry weapons.
Yes.
If you had a concealed.
Basically,
weapon.
It was reinstating the rights we had before 1989, before they changed the law with zero incidences. So, and we'll work on that diligently again. And
and you think it has a chance to come back as a piece of ghost legislation?
Yeah, we'll call it the zombie bill.
Right. and how much support is there for that?
There's a lot of support. Unfortunately, it did not get out of work session because my chair, who's a great chairman, Chairman Frierson, was under the impression that we didn't have the votes simply because one of his own members didn't come forth and say, yes, he was voting for it. But we did have the 7 votes to get it out of the Assembly Judiciary Committee, which I sit on, and then we had 22 solid votes for the floor.
What do you think the biggest misconception was about the bill?
The biggest misconception was the media portraying young kids with guns and alcohol. And so when you paint a picture like that, first of all, it's a lie because you're not a kid with a concealed weapons permit. You're 21 years old. They said, oh, we don't want, you know, the firearms in the dorms, and so no problem. We just amended that right out because most of our concealed weapon carriers here in the state of Nevada are ages 51 to 61. That's the majority who holds a concealed firearm permit, and the smallest number was our 21 to 32-year-olds. And so even at 21, when you're attending college, you're generally not living in the dorm. And when you have a concealed weapon, you don't brandish it or voice it. So no one actually knows whether you're carrying or not. I mean, there's some laws that you have to abide by in order to carry your weapon concealed.
What's the governor's position on this?
He's very gun friendly. So he didn't take a position on campus carry. He's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. And so I didn't push it until it, you know, got out of like the first house, or I wasn't going to push it or ask him for an endorsement on that.
Okay, Health and Human Services, you sit on that committee.
I do.
Senator Ben Kiekhaefer was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about his concerns that we're setting up this giant bureaucracy to deal with it, which is, you know, part of the mandate, but he's concerned that there won't be enough people actually signing up for this, and therefore we'll have a huge expense. But without the people coming up to actually utilize it. He was also concerned that at some point the federal government, when dealing with the deficit, is going to stop looking at this and paying 100% or 90% of the cost, and it's going to fall back on the state. Your thoughts on those issues?
My thoughts on those issues is, thank goodness our governor was smart enough to give himself an out if it doesn't work, and so we can get out of that program that he's trying.
Right.
So... that's my thought on it. As far as, I think because we have a lot of uninsured in the state of Nevada, I think there will be people coming forth. When I spoke with Mike Wilden, his numbers were quite conservative. I have a lot of faith in Mr. Wilden.
He's an amazing,
brilliant man.
Yes.
And he runs a tight ship, and he hasn't failed us yet. So. I have a lot of faith in our health department and our heads of our health department here.
One of the committees you sit on, as you mentioned, is judiciary. There's been a lot of talk over many years about us getting an appellate court and the great need for that, that at this point in time the Supreme Court hears every single case, mm-hmm. which to me is crazy. And it seems like Justice Hardesty and the other justices have figured out a plan that's relatively economical to be able to put this in place. Is there discussion? Because I've not heard anything about it.
I think that you haven't heard anything about it because we're in crunch time towards the end of session right now. But there is discussion, and it's an open discussion, and it is a discussion that is badly needed. So I would say you're probably going to hear a lot more about it before the beginning of next session, before the beginning of the 78th session.
Okay, so it's something that, and you know, we've been hearing a lot of this. Speaker Kirkpatrick has been talking. We had her on the program a couple of weeks ago as well. And she was saying that she wanted to deal with things that could get done this session rather than dealing with things that could be put off into the future, and that there was time in the interim to be able to do this. So do you have any degree of confidence that this could actually be accomplished by the next session?
Absolutely. For an example, one of my bills, 248, where we're going to change an archaic law that basically would change criminal infractions to civil penalties so you don't get arrested for a speeding ticket or jaywalking. That's going to a study in the interim on the Advisory Commission of the Administration of Justice. So all of these interim things that we do prepare us for the next session, and I think the appellate court is definitely going to be a big discussion as soon as this session ends.
All right, let's take a break. More with Michelle Fiore when we come back.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day. to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore. So let's talk about the state that the Assembly Republicans find themselves in. At this point, you obviously have a more pleasant and cordial relationship with Democrats. But do you have the leverage to get any of the things that you really want to get out of this session? PERS reform, construction defects. It seems like this is going nowhere.
Right. I will tell you, the leverage that we have is because we have an incredible speaker. Our speaker, Marilyn Kirkpatrick, is quite fair. And I was
by the way, I appreciate the fact you're saying our speaker.
Yes.
Because being a Republican, that would not normally have been in the past something somebody would have said. So please go ahead.
Yes, no. Marilyn Kirkpatrick, I consider her our speaker. And she is very open to discussion. And her door is always open to us as Republicans. And she helps and teaches and wants us to succeed. So I'm actually very proud to call Marilyn Kirkpatrick our speaker because
okay.
She's a great
But where specifically, tell me, is she going to be able to help you on some of these major issues that
Republicans
are pushing
for? She's very open to construction defect. And the PERS, that discussion has been opened, and she's opening that up right now. We have, believe it or not, people go, oh, there's only 20 more days. It's 20 long days, and so I think that discussion will be opened up. I know Brandy Kerner and her are working together on that. So one thing I will say about our speaker is she's not closed to anything, and she's always open to making the system better.
What do you think about her ideas on the entertainment tax?
So, the entertainment tax, I love the fact that she brought it to the table because what I think that needs to be accomplished is to withdraw the people that were exempt from back in 2003, 2005. They had great lobbyists. I call our lobbyists the fourth branch of government, by the way. When you have lobbyists that lobbied for special deals, for special interests, so the entertainment tax was more to put the discussion on the table than it was to implement, I think. And looking at that, people have to understand that exemption doesn't mean forever. It means you're exempted, get with the program, and now let's relook at it. So I really, truly, in my heart, believe that's the intention of that bill.
Could you vote for it?
No.
Because the governor is certainly not going to vote for it, and it's not going to pass without at least one member of the Republican Assembly caucus voting
right.
for it.
No. But understand her position. I mean, we're looking at a lot of industries that, not a lot, a few industries that come into our state that don't, I don't want to say contribute to our state, but I mean they bring in their own bottled waters. They don't buy from our vendors. They bring in their own vendors. And so when you look at big industries like that come in, take out a lot of money, and access.
And these are people like Burning Man, Electric Daisy Carnival.
Electric Daisy, and understand people go, oh, don't tax them, they're going to leave. Trust me, Burning Man isn't going anywhere because no one else wants them. So we have the space, they're here, and they're not going anywhere.
I don't know about nobody else wants them, but I think that the setup that they have worked so hard to achieve,
mm-hmm.
It's a permanent structure, not at Black Rock Desert, but they are permanently based in Nevada, and for them to go through all the rules and regulations to set up something that's going to hold 50,000 people will be very
hard
to do.
It's really, really tough, and I think that, you know, watching the dialogue between them, the lobbyists, and the legislators, I don't think they're really willing to come to the table and help.
Well, you know, what's ironic is that the tickets for both of those festivals mm-hmm. are very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And once they sell out, they go on the black market and they become even more expensive. Mm-hmm. So the idea that an 8% tax would kill them, but either way, you're not going to support that tax.
I'm not going to support that tax, but that discussion has to come back to the table, and maybe we discuss it as a tax with venues of more than 7,500 people attending. You know, maybe we actually streamline it to where we're specific versus so broad that we're going to pay tax on movie tickets.
Okay, so would you actually support that, though? I mean, you're willing to have a discussion, but if that came,
would I support taxing the Burning Man and Electric Daisy? Without a doubt.
Okay, So you're not a member of the No New Taxes pledges, or do you just feel it's an expanding of taxes?
I don't feel, and Chuck Muth will probably hammer me over the head for this, but I just truly believe in everyone paying their fair share. And when I say that as a Republican, you know, when we implemented Electric Daisy and the Burning Man, it was new. So now that we've seen what it does, we can say, okay, you know, you can help the state. The state is making you wealthy. So, you know, there is a contribution that you can give back.
And they're paying some of the highest room rates on the Strip. I mean, they're selling out the Strip when the Electric Daisy Carnival is in town. It's just, they're not poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Last quick question, and we're running out of time here. Part of your Health and Human Services, you look at autism.
Yes.
The autism bills that were brought did not make it out of committee. Jan Crandy was on the program the other day, the autism commissioner for the state, and she was saying that it would take $5 million to get that waiting list of hundreds of kids into early intervention. Do you think there's any way that this is going to come back to where there might be additional funding beyond what the governor's already proposed?
Well, you know, I think definitely it could come back, and I'm a big supporter of autism. And I think we can actually look at being creative on where we can get our funds from, like a federal grant. So I think it's a big possibility, but I think we have to work on it now and get that grant into the GF and then streamline that money into the autism.
Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Some people say personal injury claims are all about the money. Well, they're right. It is about the money to help salvage a decent life caused by another person's carelessness.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Did you get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
Get the best clam linguine in town at Scampi. Make your reservation tonight. Our lasagna, ravioli, and gnocchi are homemade fresh every day. The best seafood and pasta selection is at 425 South Virginia. Scampi, Reno's new dining spot.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, John Sandy IV is here, the attorney and lobbyist with Fenimore, Craig Jones Vargas. Former State Senator Helen Foley is here, partner with Fess Foley Warren. And former State Senator Warren Hardy, principal with Hardy Consulting. Pleasure to have you all here. So where are we at this point in the session? Because it seems like everything is tilted in the governor's favor.
Actually, it's seeming more and more like that as the days count down. We have 20 days left in the session. We've had the first real meaningful tax discussion yesterday with the live entertainment admissions tax. Democrats are getting more of their proposal out there, but the governor's dug in his feet. So I think as we get closer and closer to the end, the tide shifts to the governor's favor.
And are things getting a little less friendly?
Well, I've been pleased with the way the legislature has gone, but it will get tight. It will get a little tense in the coming days. I was pleased with the entertainment tax yesterday, though.
In what way?
Marilyn Kirkpatrick, the speaker, did a very thorough job, and she discussed what all of the opponents would say during her testimony. But then we had Carol Velardo, who is the great equalizer of all things. She never supports taxes that aren't fair and equitable, and she came up and supported that tax and congratulated the speaker for proposing it. The Retail Association supported the tax. AFL-CIO supported the tax. So I think there's some kinks in it. But if any of the tax packages pass, I think this is the one.
And are there enough Republicans to peel off to make it work and to override a potential governor's veto? That's the big question.
I hope so. Well, it takes two-thirds to pass a tax, and it also takes two-thirds to override a veto. Now, we're running out of time, so they have to pass it fairly soon in order to have it go over to the governor and then have time to come back and override.
Because otherwise the governor could have a pocket veto.
Yes.
If it's not done in time.
He could simply wait, and then the session would be over, and there would be no time to override it, unless, of course, they called themselves back into session.
Warren, and the likelihood of that with the governor running for re-election?
I don't know.
I would say...
Slim to none, and Slim just left town.
Right. Your thoughts on all this love for the entertainment tax, but where does it really go?
Well, I tend to agree with Helen. Of the two taxes that have been proposed, that's the most likely to get some traction at some level. I think... Republicans do agree that we ought to start talking about loopholes in the state. And this essentially talks about, not the way it was introduced, it was fairly broad-based, but I mean, that's how you introduce a bill, and then you scale it back from there. The payroll tax, I mean, that's the tax that the Republicans would like to see eliminated. So with 20 days in the session to introduce a bill that expands that, I think is probably problematic, and I don't know how you get there on that one. But I do think there's a potential for conversations on the live entertainment tax, not as it exists now. And it is turning a little political. I don't sense that it's, you know, turning, it's getting nasty over there. I mean, this is just politics. You can't take the politics out of politics. So I do still see a spirit of cooperation, but I think it's the issue that's sort of driving the wedge at this point.
It was interesting. Steve Wynn gave an interview to Howard Stutz of Las Vegas Review Journal yesterday, reiterating the points that he'd raised when he came up here, and talking about the fragility of the gaming industry on the Strip. But it's really hard to see with the amount of money that's being spent. I mean, Rossi Wallencotter was on this program. Oh, I'm sorry, Billy V was on the program a couple of weeks ago and talking about $10 billion worth of projects that have been announced within a one-month period, and there's been even more since then. Mr. Wynn is suggesting, you know, 0.5% across and hitting everybody. Does that have any chance of getting through? Is it even a point of discussion?
I honestly don't think that it is a point of discussion at this point in the game. I mean, like we said, we have 20 days to thoroughly vet a change in our tax code that is so significant any type of income tax or gross receipts tax. I just think is improbable at best. Getting the Republican support to pass a two-thirds bill, improbable at best. I just don't see how you're going to be able to do that in such a relatively short period of time.
Helen?
I don't see any lawmaker that's willing to carry it.
And so it's not even a point of discussion. You agree?
No, I do agree. I mean, at some point in this state, we've got to get down to this, what we always talk about, and that is a systemic discussion of tax reform. And that's not what's happening this session.
But that was what was promised at the beginning. I mean, when we interviewed Marilyn Kirkpatrick on this program a couple of weeks ago, she said she had read every one of those studies that had been done, that had been sitting on the shelf gathering dust, and she was prepared to get in there and make things happen. But it doesn't seem to have gone that way.
Well, and to her credit, what she proposed is a start. I mean, it is the one of the things that everybody agrees has to be addressed, and that is loopholes. So it's a reasonable place to start. I just don't think it's large enough. I mean, you start exempting out, which is going to have to happen, I think, for this to advance. And you lower the amount. So you either got to raise the amount of taxes collected, or keep it broad based. And I just don't see a broad based passing.
Well, and to Maryland's credit too, there's only so much you can bite off in one given session. And we did have the conversation regarding the C-tax, and I think that there's a reshifting of the formulas and how the funding goes to the different local governments. Now with the live entertainment, there's other proposals out there that are at least going to get some airtime to at least set up kind of maybe for sessions in the future. I think taxes has been on everybody's mind this session. So, I mean, as far as proposing and considering them, I think it has been done. Will anything get passed? That's a different question.
Sam, and I'm glad John brought that up, because I don't think we should overlook that. That was a major accomplishment, C-tax. I mean, that's something I worked on when I was here. And so to get something done fair and equitable on the C-tax that everybody could agree with is a major tax reform accomplishment. So I don't think we should overlook that.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it. Not long to go here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you all very much after this.
Over the past 150 years, Nevadans have lived, worked, learned, and played in a state rich with history and culture. Since its early days of statehood, Nevada has had a long heritage of pride, optimism, and opportunity. Now it's time to reflect on what makes us all proud to be Nevadans. Their strength in numbers. Our Silver State is battle-born, and we are Nevada proud.
I'm having a hot flash, a tropical hot flash. My personal summer is really a bummer. I'm having a hot flash. Menopause, the musical, the off-Broadway parody hit that will have you cheering at your seat and dancing in the aisles.
Presented by Tony Award-winning G4 Productions. Now at the Eldorado, 20% locals discount. Call 786-5700.
I'm having a hot flash.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret Stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, David Bobzium will be here. Listen to that. Thanks for watching.